Good morning. Is my mic okay? Now, I also want to sit like that, Sadhguru, but I can't in this skirt. I have a question for all of you here. Are you ever plagued with the fear, like I often am, that I am still not where I'd hoped or imagined I would be? That no matter what I achieve or how happy I am, I'm sort of crippled by this overbearing anxiety that I'm not utilizing my full potential, that life is passing me by and I'm just left there playing catch up. And of course, for most of you here who run their own companies or divisions, that restlessness is coupled with the stress of, if I don't do it, it won't be done properly. The syndrome of not being able to delegate. Or if I was going to be a little bit more existential, since I am in the company of spiritual gurus, the syndrome of not being able to
detach. There's only one here.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. Well, you never know, Sadhguru. There are some people here who may claim to be. You know, gurus these days come quite... Anyway, back to what I was saying. The syndrome of not being able to detach. I know that this is entirely true, although they will never admit it, for super achievers like my father and my sister, where they have to do everything themselves. Because somewhere I think they believe that if they don't hold the world together, it's going to fall apart. Luckily, the advantage of the age we live in is that every disease and every plague eventually finds a cure or a quack, or at the very least, a guru. Now, this man sitting next to me was an ordinary 25-year-old who one day, sitting atop Chamundi Hills, found the alt-control detox key and became one with the universe. In his own words, The air I was breathing, the rock I was sitting on, the atmosphere around me had all become me. I was blissed out. Every cell in my body was burning with ecstasy. Now,
still am.
Who in their right mind... No, but seriously, Sadhguru.
Still am, I said.
Still am. Burning with ecstasy, right? And glowing. Who in their right mind would not want to feel this way too? But therein lies the paradox. How many of us can actually claim to be in our right mind? So let's just ask the man who is in the know, or seems to be in the know, the monk on a motorcycle, on an aeroplane, on a fast car, on every possible mode of transportation, the rock star guru, the man who promises to make us leapfrog from the logical to the magical, Jaggi Vasudev, better known as Sadhguru. Let me just start it off.
It's a fact that I was sitting upon a rock, but not a rock star.
You were sitting upon a rock and you became a rock star. That's the rock I want to sit on. I'm going to start it off just to say, just to contextualize it. According to you, what would be the biggest toxin or toxins that plague the work environment?
Yourself? Work, when you say work, most of you are doing what you want to do. You're doing what you want to do and you're suffering it. No. Hello, is it okay? I'm saying when we say work, most of you are doing what you want to do and you're suffering it. So, you're not enslaved. You've started something that you want to do and you're suffering it. You're driving something that you want to drive and you're suffering it. You're living with somebody that you want to live and suffering it. So it is not the work, it is not the family, it is not the traffic. It's just that you have the most sophisticated gadget on the planet in the form of human mechanism. Have you even read the user's manual? You got only three buttons, control, alt, delete or detox. And you know it was a design deficiency which made these three buttons happen. Yes. It was not a masterpiece, it was a big mistake. So, The thing is just this, your body, your mind, your chemistry, your emotions, your energy, nothing is taking instructions from you. If your mind took instructions from you right now, would you keep yourself miserable or blissful? Please tell me, make a choice because I'm going to bless you right now. If your mind took instructions from you at this moment, would you keep it blissful or miserable?
Blissful.
Please make a choice, don't hesitate. That's a big problem, you've not made the choice. You're allowing situations to make the choice. You have not made the choice how to be. And without understanding the fundamentals of human mechanism, we're trying to just run it through somehow and hope it'll work. You've been given a super, super computer, but you're handling it with hammer and anvil technology. So obviously wrong things will happen. If you ever try to get those three buttons, Control, Alt, Delete on your hand, on your computer keyboard, it's one of the most difficult things to do because we have not learned how to use it. Human mechanism is a phenomenal process. What is such a phenomenal thing has become a torture that today people are talking about how to switch it off, how to delete or how to whatever. For example, the reason why we are who we are on this planet in relation to every other creature is we have a mind of a certain kind. This mind has become the serious problem now. What is the greatest blessing has become a problem. Because this is like, suppose you don't know how to drive. You went and just sat in a car, you don't know anything about how to drive, but the car started rolling. Fear, natural. If it started rolling faster, terror, natural, isn't it? If you knew how to drive it, if it starts moving, great. If it goes at great speed, fantastic. If you knew how to drive it, so the problem is not with your work, with your family, with the Delhi traffic. The problem is you don't know how to drive this, not made any effort to look at how this is made, how we should make this happen the way we want it. Nobody in this world, I'm sure you have enough experience with life, nobody in your life has happened 100% the way you want them, isn't it? Has anybody happened? Your parents, your spouse, your partners, your colleagues, your children, has anybody happened 100% the way you want them? Not even your dog. These days they do their own thing. But the problem is not that somebody is not happening your way. The problem is this one is not happening your way. That is the problem. If this one person happened your way, once again I ask you a question because many of you are not answering, if this one person happened the way you want him to be, would you keep him blissful or miserable?
Blissful.
So the problem is just that this one is not happening the way you want him. It's not about work, it's not about world situations, it's not about things outside. This is not happening the way you want. How much time or attention has ever been paid as to what is the basis of this, how does this function, where is the keyboard for this brain? You just try to scratch your back, it doesn't work like that. I keep telling people, when they think hard, they scratch the back of their head, I said, that's not where the buttons are. That's not where it is.
So where is it? That's the point, where is it?
Oh. Shall we do a simple experiment with you?
Please.
Shall we? Sit with your hands and legs uncrossed. Very simple. Sit with your spine erect if that's possible. Your five fingers should be together. Just place it gently upon your thigh, okay? We will do this with eyes closed, but right now you just observe me. You'll hold it this way, with your eyes closed, breathe slightly deeper than normal. As you normally breathe, just slightly deeper than that, slightly exaggerated breath, and notice how the air fills up into your lung. or where the maximum expansion and contraction is. As you're doing this with your eyes closed, noticing your breath, I will ask you to switch. When I say switch, just turn it around like this. And once again, when I say switch, get it back. In these two positions, I want you to notice something about your breath will change. I want you to notice this. You will be able to notice this only if your spine is erect, your eyes are closed, and you're focused on your breath. Please close your eyes, breathe slightly deeper than normal. Switch. Switch again. Please open your eyes. Do you notice some change between these two? Can somebody say what? Yes, please.
I think the concentration level is higher when the hands are up facing.
No, no, with your breath, something about your breath.
About the breath.
Can I say something?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, this was maybe peculiar to me, but when you asked me to switch, I actually held my breath and switched, you know? And I was like, why am I holding my breath? The whole point is to breathe with the anxiety of, oh, I need to switch.
When I focused on my breath, in fact, I realized that I'm living in present, in fact, because my entire focus was on the… When I was breathing in and I was holding the breath, I thought that I'm living in the present moment. I mean, I was detached from the past or the future. I was very much focused on the present because I had to, you know, switch it off. So I think I felt that moment.
That's fine, but running a business, you'll have to think about past and future pretty often and
yes.
Much. Okay, I will tell you what's happening, please notice this. When your hands are down, you will notice the maximum expansion and contraction is in the lower lobe of the lung, so you will notice it in the diaphragm. When you turn it around, it's in the middle lobe of the lung, so it moves little higher up. Just notice this one breath. Is that so? Just turning your hand around, the very way you breathe is altering itself. It's not just your breath, the very way your life energies function is altering itself completely just because you turn your hand around. Now, how many times in a day, unconsciously, whatever anybody asks, now you turn your energies into turmoil and hoping to be peaceful. Now when people are talking, they don't speak, I don't know, it's an articulation problem or what, people all happening, and now you hope to be peaceful. Life doesn't work like that. Unless you do the right things will not happen to you in this world. Whether it's outside or inside, it's the same thing. Or another way of looking at it is, if right things are if right things are not happening, obviously you're not doing the right things. Yes? I'm sure you're successful enough to understand this, isn't it? There was a time when people believed they can do stupid things, look up and pray and everything is going to be okay. I'm sure all of you are successful enough to understand unless you do right things will not happen to you in your businesses. Yes or no? The same with this business also. Unless you do the right things will not happen to you. So what are the right things?
Well, I was just about to say, the right thing is so open to perception, right? Everyone… my right may not be your right.
No, I'm not talking about a morality business.
Oh no, I'm not talking about morality either, but
yes.
I'm talking about just what…
So, if it comes to these days, all of you using more tender… she's still on BlackBerry, but others have come to more tender gadgets which are touch, okay? So if you take your touch screen and do this, you know what will happen? There was a time, the famous Remington typewriter, you needed iron fingers, do-do, tok-tok-tok. Now you're like this, because the technology is more sophisticated. So you have the highest level of sophisticated technology on the planet, do you agree with me? This is the gadget. Everything else is a small outcome of this. And this one, you're trying to handle it like a caveman, it's not going to work. It will work. You can make this work in different levels. You can use your BlackBerry to send messages, you can use it to break somebody's head. It also works like that, but that is not what it is intended for. So similarly, this is capable of phenomenal things if you learn to handle it in a sophisticated manner. Otherwise, it could do crude things and you could be happy with it. A lot of people are happy just doing crude things and they think that's it. But for that, you did not need this sophisticated a body, this sophisticated a neurological system and a brain, you don't need that. Any creature could do that. The significance of being human is, you have a sophisticated instrument because nature expected you will do sophisticated things, phenomenal things. When I say phenomenal things, nobody seems old enough for this, but suppose you were watching the first Doordarshan in India in early 80s when the first… I think most of you would have watched. If you owned one television and turned it on, the single channel wonder, as you're watching your favorite program, suddenly it goes boop, boop, boop. Then you have to run up on the terrace of your house and a bunch of aluminum tubes, if you do like this, it won't work, if you do like this, it won't work. You just tenderly get it to one place, suddenly the world pours into your sitting room. This is just like that. How you sit, how you breathe, how you conduct everything about you. If you manage this, this can download the whole cosmos. That may be too far. CEO does not represent anything cosmic, right? Okay, the C doesn't stand for cosmic, I understand. You may not be interested that far, but how would it be for you, putting it down to your day-to-day levels? See, now if I sit here with my eyes closed, if somebody walks into this hall, I will tell you what kind of person has walked into this hall. This is not some great yoga. Your dog is capable of doing this. Yes or no? Your dog is sitting under the sofa, somebody comes at the doorstep, he knows who has come. Yes or no? Would it be very useful in your day-to-day business that if you sit in your office, somebody walks in and you know what you need to know about this person? Would it be very useful, either conducting a client or an employee or yourself for that matter? Would it be very useful? Such a thing is not happening because we are conducting this in a rudimentary fashion.
So according to you, the biggest sort of hindrance to detoxing and to freeing our mind is ourselves?
No, no, no.
Right?
You're talking about detoxing, I'm not talking about detoxing. My question is, why are you toxic, first of all?
That's my question. So what is the tox, right? The toxin.
Right now, yeah. if you check my pulse, I've had my breakfast, I am speaking, it is somewhere either a bit in the lower 50s. If I simply sit quietly, it will come somewhere around 36, 38. So when your system is like this, there's no question of toxing up and then detoxing. What is the point?
But for most of us who are working in the, you know, crazy environments that we work in…
You're not working in a more crazy environment than me.
Okay. You have all the crazies in fact who come to you.
Yes, even you. I want you to understand, I'm not sitting in some mountain cave and being peaceful. I'm handling an organization which is doing multiple varieties of activity. From projects, from very mass-scale projects to spiritual processes to half a dozen businesses.
To treks to Mount Sarovar, Mount Kailash, okay, which I have actually
all those
been
things.
With.
And with yeah. What? I don't get people from IIMs or IITs or I don't pick up the best, whoever comes to me, okay? Whatever comes to us, and they're all volunteers, over 3 million volunteers. A volunteer means, first thing, he's not trained for the job. Another thing is you can't fire him. because he's a volunteer. You try to work with a group of people that you can't fire, that's not easy, okay? So if anybody has to go crazy, it's me, not you.
So then what is the reason that you're not going crazy? Now, I know that out of most of the gurus, you are considered the most accessible because you claim not to talk in mumbo jumbo, you know, the whole non...
I claim.
Or you don't talk in mumbo jumbo.
Okay.
Okay, so this is my point, that let's hear in a more non-esoteric way.
Is this...
That what are maybe three or four tips, like quick tips, that we could actually be in the state that you are in, dealing with people we can't fire.
Okay. So, on a certain day, a man was going home. He looked at his watch, it was 7:30 in the evening. The wife's rules at home are, 8, he must be back home. What's the rules at home?
My rules.
Don't tell me, okay? You can't run a home without any rules. There is some rule, isn't it? In this house, the wife's rules are, 8 o'clock, he must be home. He thought, there's still some time. So he stepped into a local bar and he thought he'll have a quick drink. He had a quick drink and a quick drink and a quick drink and a quick drink. Then he looked at his watch. It's at 2 a.m. You know, people under the influence of alcohol are like yogis, they become timeless. But also senseless, okay? And then he tried to get off the bar stool and rush home. And how unfair it is for a man that he has to walk on a round planet and it spins on top of it. Completely. So with great difficulty, he was trying to go home on the spinning planet. And he tried to find a shortcut through a garden and he went headlong into a rose bush. Face became a mess. Somehow he reached home and these keyholes are made so microscopic, it took another 20 minutes to find that. Then he crawled up to his bedroom. Fortunately, wife was a big sleeper. He went into the bathroom, looked at himself in the mirror, the face was a big mess. So he opened the medicine cabinet, fixed himself, plaster, band-aid, everything. And then went and crawled into the bed and slept. Morning 8 o'clock, the wife took a bucket full of cold water and splashed it on him. He woke up, why? Oh, it's only a Sunday. She said, you fool, once again drinking. She said, honey, I promised you 6 months ago. Since then I haven't touched a drop. She grabbed him by the shirt and dragged him into the bathroom and showed him all the plaster was on the mirror. This is the problem right now. You think if you get angry, you got to fix somebody. If you get miserable, you got to fix somebody. No, if you are feeling any kind of unpleasantness, either resentment, anger, fear, whatever, these are all different names for different levels of unpleasantness. Whatever is your unpleasantness, if this is unpleasant, please tell me who should be fixed. Who should be fixed? If this is unpleasant, this needs to be fixed, not that. If you fix that, that may improve, but this will be the same. You look at your lives and see, in the last 100, 150 years, with the advance of science and technology, aren't you definitely living materially way better than your grandfather, way better than your father? Yes or no, unless your father was a… grandfather was a Maharaja or something. Otherwise, every one of us are enjoying comforts and conveniences even royalty could not expect 100 years ago, isn't it so? Many of you driving cars with 200, 500 horses. Yes. Yes or no? So, the problem is not because of the situation, it is simply because you're trying to fix the mirror and you think you're going to be okay. Life doesn't work like that.
So how do we fix ourselves? That's the point. I mean, most of us will agree instantly to say, yes, this needs fixing. But what do we do?
Are you… Are you so insignificant a creature in your own life that you're not willing to dedicate a little bit of time for that? It has to be fixed right here in 2 minutes?
No, but it has to be the right kind of time with the right kind of effort. If I'm just going on fixing the mirror, thinking I'm fixing myself, then that's not going to work.
If you… they're giving you this little meditation CD, you could start off with that. It's a 12-minute process, simple. Anywhere you can do, you can put it on your phone and with a little guidance you can do this. You start with that, something very simple. If you're a little more serious, I would say, if you dedicate a minimum of 30 to 32 hours, a focus time, we can spread it on 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, whichever way you want it. But a little over 30 hours of focus time, we can give you a scientific process through which you can work upon yourself internally, not somebody from outside. You can work upon your internal system. We are calling this inner engineering. Engineering essentially means to have things the way we want it, isn't it? You have engineered the world so much. Well, in India, still a lot needs to happen, but the rest of the world has engineered it so much, if you engineer it anymore, there may be no world left. To that point we have taken. You may have outside the way you want it, but if this one person is not the way you want him to be, it's still misery, isn't it? See, let me check a few facts. Today's sun came up on time. Do you know this? Hello? I'm talking to you.
Yes!
Today's sun came up on time. Oh, okay, so what? No, you don't understand the significance of this. This happened to me a few months ago, maybe a year ago. We were just flying a helicopter, and because the weather was good, we pulled off the doors and we were flying an open helicopter. Everybody knows every 1,000 feet you go up, what's the temperature drop, you prepare for that. But then we went up and it got cloudy and we hit a cold front and it became very cold, it became sub-zero in a matter of 15-20 minutes. So we couldn't even hold the controls properly, so we said we'll come down. As we're coming down, we were just talking, if the sun doesn't come up tomorrow, what? We said maybe 3 months, 6 months, the planet, what will happen? But I came down and did some research. If the sun vanishes right now, in 18 hours' time, in 18 hours' time, almost everything that you know as life will not exist. Only some microbes deep down in the earth will be there. So I announced a great news for you right now, you just stare at me. Sun came upon time today. I want to hear appropriate noises. Wow, isn't it? The planet is spinning on time. Everything in the solar system is going on course, nothing crashing into anything. The whole cosmos is in perfect order. But you have one nasty little thought crawling in your head and it's a bad day. You lost your perspective, you understand? You lost your perspective in the sense, do you know the solar system in this cosmic space is a speck? Tomorrow morning if the whole solar system disappears, nobody will notice it, I'm telling you, it's not on account. In this speck, planet Earth is a super speck. In that super speck, Gurgaon is a micro super speck. In that, you're a big man. This is not a small problem. You completely lost your perspective as to who you are, what you are in this creation. You think you are spinning the planet. No. If all of us vanish right now, everything will go on fine, even in this world. Yes or no? So, if you don't lose your perspective, if you are in touch with reality, if you are observing life process around you, that itself will fix you. That itself will fix you. The fundamental process of yogic sciences comes from what is called as Bhuta Shuddhi. Bhuta Shuddhi means the five elements. When his seven now famous disciples, who are known as the Saptarishis in this country, when they asked Adiyogi, What is the nature of the universe? What should we take charge to be the masters of this? He was in a intoxicated state, not because of substances, that's how he was. He just said like this, said five. These five things, five elements, if you take charge, you are complete mastery of yourself and the world around you. Only five things. You are a composite making of this water, air, earth, fire and space. You don't have to do much with space, only four things. Little mastery over this. If you just learn to treat them differently, your life will change. Just now, the lady is just getting ready to drink the water. Water is not a substance. 72% of who you are right now is water. You're not treating it as yourself. You're not treating it as life-making material. You're treating it as some kind of a commodity that you can buy and sell. Well, that happens in the marketplace, that need not happen in your life. You're not treating the food that you eat, the water that you drink, the air that you breathe, the earth that you walk upon as a part of yourself. Because who you are right now is what you gathered from this planet, isn't it so? Yes or no? You are just a piece of this planet. You better get it from me now, otherwise one day you will get it from the maggots. Yes, it'll be a bit too late. If you get it now, you will live sensibly. If you understand, you're just a tiny blob of this planet popping out and you will go back. In the meantime, how wonderfully you lived is all that you have. And what a mess. Just tell me one thing that people are not suffering. If they're poor, they suffer their poverty. You make them rich, they suffer the taxes. If they're uneducated, they suffer their illiteracy. You put them to school, how much suffering? People commit suicide. They're not married, they suffer that. If they get married, I don't wish to make a comment. No children, they suffer that. Give them children, everyday pain in the neck. Tell me one thing that human beings are not suffering. So people will conclude life is suffering. Life is not suffering. This is your choice. You can make this into an ecstatic process or you can make this into a miserable process. You have to make the choice. Once you make the choice, the right steps will naturally follow.
Sadhguru, to go back a little bit, now I have a little baby, right? And I'm listening to you and I'm thinking about how all of us here need to fix some things. What can I do or what can the baby do where she doesn't get broken, where she doesn't need any fixing? What are we doing in this world that's wrong that all of us need fixing? Most of us need fixing, most of us need to get on away from the suffering to get into the feeling of being blissed. So at this point, obviously they're not born broken.
So, as you said it, now you're talking about suffering as a natural process and bliss as a rare thing.
I'm not. I'm saying how does it… You're saying that. You're saying that most of us are suffering.
Just now you said we need to be fixed.
You're saying that most of us are suffering, that how many of us, if we're rich, we're suffering, if we're poor, we're suffering.
I'm not saying that. I'll ask you one question, simple question. Nobody is hungry here. Nobody is poking a dagger into you. No outside suffering, all right, right now. Most of the time in your life, nobody is poking at you. For most of you, life has happened better than you would have imagined at a certain point in your life. Now, tell me, how many of you can genuinely say, at least you've had one 24-hour segment, that is a one single day in these many years of living, which is utterly, absolutely blissful, not a moment of stress, anxiety, fear, tension, nothing, simply blissed out. Just one 24-hour segment. Most human beings on the planet cannot say yes to this. You're a rare few. So what I'm asking is, if one day did not happen the way you want it, it's understandable. If not even one day happened the way you want it, you must understand that you're off the rack. What more proof do you need?
But we're not born off the rack, surely, right? That's my point. How did we get off the rack?
But we are born to people who are off the rack.
Okay. All our fault.
They will fix you in no time. If they find you too joyful, they'll fix you in no time.
Moving on from this, let's come to something a little bit more concrete, which is that at the moment, sexuality is a big toxin and a plague in the work environment. Now, you've got genuine cases where there is sexual assault and harassment, and on the other hand, you've got the fear of being perceived as you know, might come across as harassing or, you know, sexual in an inappropriate manner. For instance, we have issues in our own organization where a male TV producer cannot tell a television female anchor that, oh, you know, you put on a few kilos or pink is not really suiting you on air, just for the fear of being perceived that that's a bit inappropriate. What I'd like to know is how and when and why this will pass, because it has to pass, I suppose. And why is it so prevalent now, or is it just something that we are aware of now and it was always there?
See, with the, I must tell you this, Inisha Foundation, almost 70% of the important leadership positions across the world are held by women. And not, that is not because of their gender, that's because of their competence. They're not chosen to those roles because they're women. So today it may be like this, if there is a male anchor, there must be a female anchor, which is a wrong choice. If the female anchor is good, she must be there. If the male anchor is good, he must be there. There are only certain aspects of life where gender should play a role. The rest of the places, there is no… this madness of all the time you have to recognize a woman as a woman and a man as a man is not necessary, particularly in a workplace. If that has to change, I think a whole rethinking in the society needs to happen as to how a woman should come to work and whatever. I'm not trying to prescribe anything, but if you want it to be a genderless workplace. When I say genderless, it's not that you're not sensitive to a few things, you are, but that need not be the prime thing all the time. Then once that is the prime thing, then the choices that you make will be of a certain kind, naturally. So that has to go. I think in India the situation is, we are still in a certain state of… in a workplace especially. See, this problem was never there. Men and women are working on the field, in a paddy field. Nobody is bothering her in the way she gets bothered in the office, because she is new in the office, do you understand? It's a new thing that so many women are coming to work in a city. But in the village, they all work together, it's never an issue. You must see how they all cramped into one truck and they go, nobody thinks who is a man, who is a woman, they go.
No, but you hear of so many instances even in the villages and…
Please understand, you know, it's 1.2 billion people, there will be instances, all right? There will be instances, it's 1.2 billion people of totally unmanaged population. There is no law in the country. When I say there's no law in the country, in America, if you call in 4 minutes flat, they're there. 3 police cars will be there, all right? If you in a village, if you call a policeman, he'll come not after 4 days, he will not come after 4 months. Do you understand? In spite of that, you cannot say there are too many incidents. For 1.2 billion people, which is completely not managed by law, it's self-managed, you can say our incidents are way lower. If you look at the rape statistics, America has 4 times more rapes than India. And in America, there are 10 times more not reported than what they have.
Sadhguru, for me as a woman, even one rape is way too many.
That,
you know, for me it's…
I'm not trying to justify that. I'm saying we're talking about India. We don't have to demonize India like that. This is happening everywhere.
Absolutely. And I'm saying, what do we
for
do?
That, for no. that to change, for that to change. Now, if a certain spiritual ethos has to come, when we say spiritual, let's understand this. Spiritual does not mean a scripture, spiritual does not mean looking up or looking down. Spiritual means looking inward. If looking inward means looking beyond the physicality of who you are, with yourself, first of all. When you sit here, you're not sitting here as a lump of flesh. You're not sitting here as a man or woman. You simply sit here as a being, which is what you are, as a piece of life that you are. If you're sitting here throbbing as a piece of life, if the idea of gender doesn't always rule you from day in and day out within yourself, you will also not look at the other that way. So for that to happen, a whole social evolution has to happen. Just trying to fix it by, you know, slogans and stuff shows that we are not serious about it. One day slogan, television is going berserk on this, shows that we are not serious about it. If we are serious about it, we have to start with our children very young, not about saying respect this, respect that. It is just that if you start looking at life for what it is, not what you perceive, see, till you are 8, 10, 12 years of age, you are perfectly okay. Suddenly your intelligence got hijacked by hormones, suddenly whatever you look at looks strange. You're chemically poisoned, I want you to understand. Your hormones entered your bloodstream, suddenly everybody is looking strange, bringing up all kinds of things within you, which was not there. If you understand, this is a phenomena for a certain purpose. In a certain way it can be conducted. It need not spill, your hormones need not spill all over the town. They have to be in a certain place for them to find a proper expression.
And a certain place is only procreation. The gong, saved by the bell. We have time for just a couple of questions. So make them interesting. So go for it.
Good morning. Sorry. I've been reading, you know, the scriptures in India also said that there is a certain phase in your life. You're a young child and brahmacharya, then you get into business, then there is a time that you leave business for others and then you take sannyas. Where in this is...
When is that?
there is somewhere, I think, sorry about that. But then, what I was trying to get at is there really a need for work-life balance?
Is there a?
Really a need for work-life balance? Mr. Murthy was here yesterday and he gave us, I mean, he just told a joke that someone went to his HR manager and said, is there a work-life balance? He said, yes, 50%. And he said, okay, 50% I stay in office. And then he said, no, no, no. Till 50 years you stay in office, after that you go to your house. So what I wanted to get at is that I've seen, my father was a successful man and he never had time and, you know, so I mean, a lot of people here, get back to their homes at a time when the children or the wives are asleep, and that's an everyday thing. So is it really necessary to have that work-life balance, or you can do it at a certain age and say, okay, now I'm going to go for the balance, I've done enough work?
So when you say work-life balance, you're juxtaposing one against the other. What I'm saying is, probably you'll spend more time with people with whom you work with than with your own family, isn't it so? If you're a successful person, you won't be seen at home. If a man is not seen at home, either he is very successful, or he's drunk, or he's a golfer. Or the last one you said, he might have taken sannyas, okay? So if you're successful, you're spending a far more amount of time with people that you work with in work situations. And why is it not your life? There is no such thing as work life. You need to live your work and your life needs to be worked at, okay? Both need to happen. If you don't live your work, I see even in India we're picking up, just yesterday for the first time I noticed in India some advertisement saying, thank God it's Friday, one of the news channels. This is an American thing. They slog or they suffer 4.5 days. From Friday afternoon, they start living. Okay? That is not our ethos. There are people who sleep in their workplace, eat in their workplace, and joyfully do what they're doing. Because work is something, you're doing it because that's what you want to do, unless you've been enslaved, isn't it? Most of us are doing the work that we want to do, isn't it so? Then why is it a suffering? Why is it work and life are different? No, there is life and life. How much of work, how much of family time, whatever, these things are not a constant for everybody. If you spend too much time with your family, your wife may say, go take a walk. It's too much, you're all the time here. It'll not work if you're too much there. You set up your office at home and see, it'll not work. Either you'll have to move the office or she'll move the house. Because the balance is… there is no such thing as balancing between the two. The balance is within you. If it's within you, just a look, a smile, a word will settle 10 days or maybe a year. You must understand this. I was… recently somebody was interviewing me, I said, you know, my daughter was dancing in UK and this man said, how did you bring her up? She's become such a fabulous being. How do you bring up a girl like this? He said. I said, see, I've been largely been a telephonic father and see, it's worked out quite well. For the schedules that I keep and the travels that I do, I have largely been a telephonic father and see, the results are fantastic. Because the quality is not in just how much time, okay, I spend 4 hours at home, 6 hours here, there, this is not it. It's the way you are within yourself and which makes the difference. Don't worry about your work and your life. Just fix this one person. Everybody will be fine with you, I'm telling you. Believe me, there's only one problem in the world, that's you. If you fix this one, everything in the world looks fantastic. There are a lot of things to be done. We will do it to the best of our capability and that's all there is. But if you're concerned about it, if you're stressed about it, there is substantial medical and scientific evidence to prove this, that even what you can do, you will not do in your life if you're stressed out. In your life, if you do not do what you cannot do, that's not a problem. But if you do not do what you can do, you're a disaster. And that is the disaster you will become if you do not get this into a balanced, pleasant condition. If this is pleasant, only then you can harness in your mind and your body to its fullest. If every moment you're feeling really blissful within yourself, you can do everything well. Have you noticed that when you're joyful, you're at your best? Yes or no? To yourself and everybody around you. Above all, I want to ask you, because you all of you manage people, would you like to live and work with people who are joyful or miserable? Joyful people you want? Please, please, please remember, everybody else is expecting the same thing. Please.
Before I let you go, I just have to ask you one little thing. I don't know how old you are, I don't know whether you're going to reveal it or not, but you have a glow on your face, you don't have a wrinkle anywhere. Is this because you don't suffer at all from any anxiety whatsoever? Like you have no anxiety of any kind, no nervousness, no stress, no… Look, I mean, look at him, he's glowing.
I've not given the privilege to anybody or anything that they can cause stress to me, anxiety to me, misery to me. I kept those privileges with myself.